Money Savvy. This is the Money Savvy podcast from MoneyWeb, where we tackle personal finance matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Peter Mero and Saul Cook.
October is retirement month, and in the latest episode of the Money Savvy podcast, I'll be discussing how to recover if you have a retirement funding shortfall. I am joined by Rick Isnell, who is a certified financial planner at PSG Wealth. Welcome to Money Savvy, Rikus.
Thank you, Boitumelo.
Now, what are some of the reasons people fall behind with their retirement planning?
I think there's quite a few reasons, but I think some of the most common reasons is actually many people sort of never press start. So they never ignite or late. It's a late ignition. And that they fail to plan or approach someone for advice. Other common mistakes is obviously that they try and stick to their own devices and they get burned somewhere and they need to start over for that matter. Other things like eventuality, death, illness, retrenchment, divorce is a big one. So I think there's quite a few common reasons. Other one is obviously the discipline or mistakes that's made along the line. So it's actually, I think it's quite rare to tackle this retirement planning topic or theme by yourself and never sort of fall behind or make mistakes and have to start over.
When drafting your retirement plan, how long should you aim for your funds to last you for?
So the most studies are sort of resting on a 30-year case study where someone accumulates assets, and then for 30 years you've got a decumulation phase where they draw down on that capital, and that typically takes someone from age 65 to 95, and from if you retire at age 70 to age 100. So you can clearly see that if someone retires at age 55, it's actually quite a challenging setup or scenario to get someone financially independent over a 45-year period. So what we typically see is when people retire at this age, it's normally a first retirement and they start a second, perhaps from a corporate life. They start a second career or they sell their first business and start another one. But I think and I hope actually to see more so than what we see in the industry is that the retirement age is actually pushed out towards age 70.
Rikus, so ideally, how much should you have saved up for retirement?
So the general rule of thumb in our industry is 4% of your investment capital that's available for income drawdown. Bear in mind, that's a 4% gross passive income. So if it's coming out of retirement funds, it's obviously taxed before it's hitting the client's bank account. If someone is retiring, let's say at age 70, that can sort of go up to about 5%. Obviously, lower age 60, I would suggest a lower percentage of a 3% even. Bear in mind, and I think this is the difficult thing, but the important message just to convey is that you don't want to have a borderline retirement scenario. So, in many instances, I think people hope to get to this 4% of capital in terms of passive income that they can generate as soon as possible. But I think retirement should be thought about as it's a state of mind, and it is a state of health, and it is a state of financial independence. And as I say, I think the 4% is the best sort of gauge to put out there. But you don't want to be a borderline retirement. It paralyzes retirees, which is, there's no quality of life in that.
Now, let's say you get to your 40s and you realize that you may not be on track to achieve your savings target. What should be your next step?
So the best information that we see for age 40 is that someone should have saved up more or less three times their annual income. So which is quite a big number for most people in their 40s, including myself. When you fall behind and are behind, I think the best thing to do is obviously to extend your career term or span and actively work on that career plan that you can actually enhance your income, that you can save more, save quicker, and then and obviously you can pull a lever of being more aggressively invested to get greater investment returns. And then obviously be disciplined about how you spend and obviously how you apply debt, which is one of the biggest stumbling blocks of why people in modern era is not retiring well.
Now, how does this scenario change when you are a few months away from retirement?
When I say this, I know it's not the case, but hopefully when someone is approaching retirement, they should have been with a credible financial planner for 10 or 20 years. The basic principles of investment should be very familiar to them. They should clearly know what were the objectives that they were chasing and steering towards, and then whether they're ahead or behind of those objectives. And obviously, then lastly, what are their retirement options? So what we see is that people sort of approach financial advisors very short towards the retirement date, which we hope to change. It's actually something that you build a relationship with someone, a trusted relationship, when the stakes are relatively small. Those are the times and the days that you should form these relationships and get to the right advisor.
Now, should you consider working longer or maybe even on a part-time basis just to build up your savings?
So I think, as I said, and maybe going back to what is retirement, retirement in my mind is someone that has reached the point where their state of mind tells them that they're looking for something different. Sometimes that is brought forward or a line in the sand in terms of health, which one can understand. But then lastly, it's a point of financial independence. And whether you're in the state of mind, I think that's just the irony, whether you're in the state of mind or have the health condition, if you're not in a position of financial independence, you are actually unable to retire and you have to work a part-time job or two days a week. What I can say, and I mean, we see the whole array of variety of individuals that retire. I don't think retirement or humans are well designed to do nothing and not to produce anything. So even if you're not earning an income, I think it's prudent to have and constructive to have some sort of goal in terms of what are you going to produce? Are you plowing back? Are you spending time and plowing into grandchildren or whatever the case might be? But what is it that you're going to produce? And I think that in my mind provides a quality of life retirement.
Now, from a financial aspect of it, if you do decide to continue working, how does that then affect your retirement plan?
So obviously, when you are still earning an income, it means that you're not drawing down on your existing investment capital. So what it's basically a two-legged calculation. That one is that you're still adding contributions into this retirement and retirement savings. And obviously, you're postponing the withdrawal component. So you basically get this double contribution, if that makes sense, against current growth rates. So what we typically see is if someone is able to push their retirement out, which would have perhaps been a borderline retirement, if they push it out by 5 years, in many cases, that retirement turns into a very comfortable retirement instead of a borderline one.
And when you're trying to build up your savings, how should you handle debt during this stage?
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about the 40s, and unfortunately, this is the age where the majority of individuals become a little bit more aware of the retirement objective, because in your 30s, you think you're going to live forever. But it's also typically the phase where individuals start expanding on debt and expanding on their lifestyle. They're buying that bigger house, that better car, They start having meaningful wedding anniversaries and birthdays, et cetera, et cetera. But debt, as I said at the start, is perhaps one of the biggest stumbling blocks of why people are unable to retire. So wealth and debt from the outside looks exactly the same. But if you bought something on debt, people, familiar with accounting, is you're picking up the item, perhaps of value. Sometimes that value depreciates, but you're also picking up the liability. So you're actually not going forward. And I think in a lot of instances, debt are actually fooling the people or the investors themselves. They're buying items on credit. Had a conversation this morning saying, I mean, you can even buy oranges these days on debt. So I think the whole way of how debt is utilized is very confusing. I think there should be a very big focus towards living within your means. And I think if you do that, or anyone doing that, would actually see there's very, very little utility for debt compared to what we're currently seeing.
And during your retirement stages, what should your investment strategy be?
Okay, so there's quite a few, but one to avoid is I would avoid any form of a gambling theme. Anyone believing in getting rich fast, I think that mentality is actually quite harmful. It might work for you with a small stake once or twice. As the stakes rises, the chances of getting burnt and starting over is unbelievably big. So it's a much better process of progressing incrementally on things that are predictable. And if I say items that's predictable or financial instruments, it even includes your listed equities. They are also, over the long term, they're rather predictable, and you can actually ground your financial plan on something. So it's more of getting a predictable gain over the long term and making sure that you will actually finish this race and end up where you want it to be. And then obviously in the interim, avoid mistakes.
Now, just going back to some lifestyle changes, should you consider maybe downgrading your house and buying a smaller one, and then maybe using the excess funds from the sale to then invest in a retirement annuity?
Yeah, so I think it comes back to living within your means. So perhaps someone has actually extended beyond that, and in that instance, it would make sense to actually scale down and get back to, as I say, being cut back to size, because it frees you up from a debt point of view in many instances, and that you can actually apply those same payments but building something on the balance sheet rather than repaying debt. Ironically, smaller residences are not always cheaper than bigger ones, because they are typically more modern, and they in many instances they are in security complexes with new or the latest appliances and finishes, etc., etc. So it's quite a failed strategy to actually think you're going to redeem some retirement capital from that, even at point of retirement, and scale down. It comes back to live within your means. That's the best way to proceed. Putting it into a retirement annuity, retirement annuities has got particular characteristics, and they are best suited for people with a high taxability. People in particular that do active estate planning, and obviously people that wants to get the protection from creditors as what the Pension Fund Act allows for.
So for those people who may not be able to continue working for whatever reason, can they supplement the savings that they have in retirement with the government pension?
If you're quite honest, the government pension is not taking you very far, if we're honest with one another. I had a look at it recently, and I mean, it's not breaking 2,000 Rand a month, what I've seen. Over the age of 60, and obviously there's a little bit extra if you're over the age of 75. So it is supplementary, but whether it will take you very far is doubtful. I think if someone feel that they are unable to work, I think it's a career planning opportunity to understand why is it that you're unable to work. Age is not a good example of why you're unable to work. There's multiple examples of people being exceeding age 75 or even 80, running countries. So age is not a good barometer anymore for retirement. And as I say, it's perhaps a good opportunity to go back and look at the career plan and say, what are the reasons why I'm unable to work?
Thank you so much, Wikus.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That was Wikus Nell, who is a certified financial planner at PSG Wealth.
Thanks for listening to the Money Savvy podcast, hosted by Buitumelo Nsoko. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.